Welcome back to Farm Talk in Washington, D.C. at NAFB's Washington Watch. These reports brought to you by Bowerville Tire, Fargo, and Bismarck. And we're over at National Farmers Union with North Dakota's president of the National Farmers Union, Roger Johnson. Good to see you, Roger.
Always good to be with you, Mick.
And we're in D.C., and this is my first time here at this event, and you've been in D.C. now for a number of years, and I guess there's a few different political winds blowing this year.
Well, you've got government right now that's fully under the control of the Republican Party, and that's, you know, that's got its own challenges. I think even the Republicans would agree to that, particularly given that there seem to be a lot of issues between them and their president. But, you know, it's what we do doesn't change a whole lot. We spend a lot of time with our team up on the Hill, talking to members of Congress, bringing farmers down to let them know what's important. And, you know, spent a lot of time working on trying to get a farm bill passed, getting budgets approved that are, you know, helpful for us in agriculture, rural America, trying to deal with some of the trade repercussions coming out of this White House and this administration and those sorts of things.
Yeah. So the no shortage of work continues, right?
No shortage. I mean, the good news is we finally have a Secretary of Agriculture. I think a lot of people would have been just tickled had that happened 3 months ago. Sonny Perdue is going to have his hands full. He just got sort of this task from the president to do some study on regulations that can be changed. But I would think that his more immediate challenge is he's got hundreds of political appointees that still haven't been named and need to be put in place before his team can really start working on that or anything else. He's got a budget for next fiscal year that's sort of laying on his desk right now as Congress is wrestling over how those various programs are going to be appropriated. And he's going to have to be weighing in and testifying on that. And he's got a farm bill that's well underway, likely going to start, I think, in the House this time, a more traditional way of doing it. And that's going to take a lot of his time. So I think he's going to have his hands full.
But he seems to be a real likable, personable, and actionable guy. He went to work, took his suit and tie off, and went to work.
Indeed he did.
Symbolic or not.
Well, of course, but we endorsed him. I think pretty much every agricultural organization in the country did months ago, trying to get this, trying to get it moved through in a timely fashion. Unfortunately, the process is sometimes slow. I mean, the president was really slow in nominating him. There was another delay in getting the paperwork up to the Senate, and then the Senate had their own rules that slowed it down, and they had, I forget what it was. Oh, it's the Supreme Court, I think, debate that slowed it down again for a couple more weeks. So anyway, here we are. Yeah. It's we're looking forward to working with him. He'll be a good influence on the administration. That's our hope anyway.
All right. Well, his job will be to administer the farm bill. And we've had a few farm bill hearings, and I guess you heard a few things in Fargo a couple of 3 weeks ago. And I guess where is Farmers Union? What are your asks in the farm bill?
Yeah, at the top of the list is a safety net. We talked about that a lot in Fargo as well. When the last farm bill was written in 14, it was two years late, but it was also at a time of high prices, basically record farm income right at that time. It was a bit of a challenge to get farmers engaged in the process, and that's not going to be the case this time around. So all our members tell us that the most important part is making sure that there's a safety net to help during these low prices that are really, you know, market prices, as you know, are half of what they were back when this current farm bill was written. Net farm income is 50% of what it was just 3 years ago. And so there's a lot of stress out in farm country, and that will hopefully translate into a lot of political pressure for members of Congress to get this farm bill done on time.
Yeah. And the safety net, like our county, was really good at the time of high prices. It's not going to be as much of a benefit now. So do we need to change it, fix it, modify it? What's a solution there?
Well, those are all the questions that are being asked right now. We put a lot more of our effort into the PLC program just because it does a better job of protecting against low prices. But I think all indications are if farmers are given that choice again, you're going to see a lot more selection of PLC for that very, very reason. I'm not sure what the fix is to our county. It's a complicated program. The formula is kind of complicated. It was front-end loaded, which is why a lot of farmers signed up for it. They knew they were going to get a big payment those first couple years, and they had no idea what it was going to be in the out years. And so I think that's why you saw a pretty overwhelming selection of that across the board. The far west, western states kind of reversed that selection. Montana, for example, had a lot more PLC than ARC, but North Dakota and had a lot more ARC participants. And as you go into the Corn Belt, it was almost exclusively ARC was the selection. So, the word we're hearing is both programs will be offered again. It'll be another choice that's made, so farmers can pick that. And so, I think the other big issues that are at play here, more so than whether those two programs are going to be around, is what do we do with cotton and with dairy? And North Dakota doesn't have any cotton, and not much.
A lot of cottonwood trees, but not.
Yeah, that's a different deal. But those programs are getting all the attention out here because neither one of them worked. They were both brand new programs last time around, and they're widely viewed as being just unworkable, unsuccessful. And so that's going to cost some money. And the question is, where do you get the money in order to bring those commodities sort of into the safety net, if you will? But I think that'll happen, and I think it needs to happen, or you won't get the kind of consensus in agriculture that you need in order to get the farm leg of that three-legged stool in place. And then you have to have the conservation programs as the second leg and the nutrition programs as the third leg in order to get sort of all the necessary pieces and the right political muscle in order to move a bill through Congress. But I think we're on track to get this one done on time.
Okay. From Farmers Union's perspective, what's more vulnerable or might get more cuts, crop insurance or conservation?
Well, that's a good question.
Or are they both vulnerable?
Well, I would say that everything is vulnerable. And the way I would put it is that I think the real debate isn't going to be conservation versus crop insurance as much as it will be crop insurance versus nutrition. Because the way the politics work is the nutrition programs, their supporters sort of look at crop insurance as being a subsidy for big farmers, okay? And the crop insurance for the farmer folks tend to look at nutrition as being the biggest user of the money and therefore the target. The fact of the matter is, those are the two biggest targets in a farm bill. Crop insurance now costs twice what the crop insurance costs twice what the new conservation title or the safety net Title I, the commodity programs cost. And of course, nutrition is like 75 to 80% of the total bill. So those are the two big ones. And I think that's where the knives are going to be out. And I think at the end of the day, if there's a cut made to nutrition, there will be a concurrent cut made to crop insurance and vice versa. If one gets cut, the other one's going to cut in rough proportion.
Because it'll be a negotiated settlement.
Because it'll be some sort of a negotiated settlement. And you can't, you know, it's that three-legged stool that we talked about. You can't, if one of those legs gets cut too much and the other ones are made relatively whole, then, you know, the deal's just going to fall apart. You're going to have too many members of Congress that are going to scream about the inequities, and you can't get a bill passed. So it's a real balancing act. I mean, everything will be looked at, but I think those big targets are pretty obvious.
Okay. All right. Roger Johnson, National Farmers Union President. Always good to visit with you. Thanks for your Washington insight, and thanks for the work you do.
You're very welcome. Always good to be with you, Mick.
Thank you much. All right.